Indeed, that's the website you can go to download our podcast, but you can still enjoy conversations that we're having live now on the show. And this time around, we talk about a very interesting topic that a lot of us perhaps shy away from, right? Whether you are involved or just privy to knowing and understanding the latest developments between two people in the workplace who might happen to spark an office romance. Within the age of working from home and new employment policies that we need to be mindful of, what impact does this have on the environment that you are in? And of course, if it has any bearing on your productivity and how your employer decides to say, this love affair might be great for your personal lives, but it's not working in the favor of the business. To help us understand this, we're joined by the director in the employment practice, employment law practice at CDH. That's Gillian Lum. Gillian, thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, good lecture, and good evening to your listeners.
I'm quite interested in this particular conversation because I think we always see the sparks that fly between potential partners in the workplace. The rumor mill gets going. And pre-COVID, we'd all gather at the water cooler or in our corners in the office to actually discuss the spark in the office romance. But help us understand, clearly this is nothing new, but has been treated differently over time regarding the legal practices or HR practices within institutions. But working from home in this kind of environment, where do we stand now?
Yes, because as you say, it's not something new, but I think it's something that people are focusing on more and more, and certainly over the last several years with cases of sexual harassment and the risk that it poses to employers, it is something that employers have to focus on, and particularly developing policies to limit their risks. And with COVID-19 and more employees working from home now, it's more difficult for an employer to be able to monitor employees' behavior and potentially to protect employees from sexual harassment. And I think of sexual harassment because what one needs to be cautious about is, you know, office romances, many employers don't intervene in those. Mm-hmm. It's your personal relationships, it's in your personal time, and they won't intervene. But there is obviously the concern that an office romance can potentially start, or it can result in employees raising sexual harassment allegations where the conduct is unwelcome or unwanted by one of the parties. So that would be where an employer certainly wants to protect itself. And with people working from home now, there's also a sensitivity to it because often people are working in isolation. They have very limited social interaction. So potentially their work colleagues who come into their homes through virtual meetings, there may be greater informality and scope than for relationships to develop, and it may be more conducive. So there is a shift to employers looking at their current policies, if they have them, to see that they apply where people are working remotely. And if they don't have policies, to look at implementing those policies. But there are clear rules for employees to abide by, and the employer can then implement if necessary or enforce.
And isn't that the challenge, that the rules often aren't clear from organization to organization and might differ depending on the environment that you're in?
Absolutely. And I mean, like, once again, you know, an employer needs to look at its own business and decide, you know, what rules are we going to establish? What are we going to say to strict no office romances? And that's our policy, which I think many employers accepting may be unrealistic because people are working longer and longer hours, greater and greater stress. There's limited scope potentially for socializing with others. So the work environment, they may well form relationships, romantic relationships within that environment. So many employers have been saying, we're not going to have a strict no relationship policy. We accept that that may happen, but we need to put in place measures to deal with it and to monitor it, or potentially to avoid risk. And so that people may have to disclose those relationships if they're having them, and potentially to exclude situations where people can't get involved in relationships where there's a power dynamic, where there's a superior and a junior in particular, where there may be concerns.
And that's a very valid point. I was about to lead to that next question as to what kind of relationships just become a little bit too difficult to manage or pose a higher risk to the organization in terms of roles and seniority, and what kind of corrective action have we seen HR companies actually implementing here?
Yes, I mean, that is really one of the most vulnerable or greatest risks that presents for employers, if there is a senior, junior, and potentially a power dynamic, because as we know with sexual harassment, it's the power dynamic that comes into play, and that's very much where the court will interfere, where someone abuses that power relationship. So there are employers who will say simply, you know, if there's a power dynamic, you can't have a relationship, or if it's a big enough organization, you potentially are moving employees out of position so that they don't have that power dynamic. And if there is a power dynamic, that potentially employees must then recuse themselves from decision making because they're not then influencing decisions about promotions or increases. Very often, you know, it's fine while the relationship is ongoing and things are good, but the problem arises when the relationship potentially sours, and then an employee may abuse their position to their advantage and against a junior person with whom they may have had a relationship previously.
Indeed. Gillian, this is such an important conversation and needs to be highlighted in South Africa, where we're well aware of the inequalities within the workplace between gender dynamics, and of course how this also translates into a more societal issue we have of gender-based violence and sexual harassment overall. But I'm keen to understand, once an office romance does bring a company's name into disrepute, what kind of corrective action should follow, and have we seen being followed in South Africa other than just sweeping matters under the rug?
Yes, I mean, this is also a tricky part because, you know, you want to ensure that you're not, as an employer, intervening once again in someone's private life. And typically an employer won't. If there's misconduct outside of the workplace, they won't be able to or get involved in disciplining employees. But it is an issue where if an employee is having a relationship, and that relationship, if it sours, it impacts, and there's then an impact on the employment relationship, the employer can then step in and take disciplinary action against employees. Obviously, it'll depend upon what the policy is of the employer, you know, if they've got a policy that prohibits those, if there's a breach of the policy. And then, as you say, if the relationship and the souring of that relationship then has an impact where it negatively impacts on the reputation of the employer, that the employer then potentially has to look at taking disciplinary action against employees. Because naturally, an employer would ensure, must have from the employees, taking the best interest of the employer into account, and that employees uphold the good name and reputation of the employer. Mm. And if the relationship sours and then starts having a negative impact on that, the employer can then step in. And certainly there are employers that have been obliged in circumstances to take disciplinary action, where particularly if the relationship goes bad and then there are potential allegations of hostility, abuse of power, potentially violence or aggression against a fellow employee, that they would then step in and take action where it impacts negatively on the good name of the employer.
Indeed. I guess our parting shot, Gillian, to entrepreneurs, to HR executives, and even employees who might find themselves in this kind of scenario, what are the key elements that they need to be mindful of? And as you've mentioned, I guess disclosure is quite pertinent, especially once things start getting rather serious in the personal relationship.
So I think it is important, you know, if you're in HR, to look at, you know, do we have a policy? If we do have an existing one, is it adaptable for remote working now? Do we need to update it? If we don't have a policy, then to start looking at putting those policies in place, and then having clear rules as to what is acceptable, what is unacceptable, what do we regard as appropriate behavior within the workplace, and training people, and drawing that very important distinction between, you know, when is it an office romance that's acceptable, and when does it then potentially go into sexual harassment, where there's, as I said, there's significant potential exposure for an employer and risk to an employer if you're not managing that situation.
Indeed. Gillian, thank you so much for your time this evening, helping us understand a very pertinent topic that might start off quite innocently and fuel office gossip in the meantime, but does have far-reaching ramifications if you take a look at not only what it means for the organization and decision-making processes, but also matters of sexual harassment, which do need to be addressed seriously. A big thank you for your time this evening. That's the director within employment law practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyer, Gillian Lam, helping us understand the dynamics and the policies that do need to be in place just to manage office romance within the working from home dynamic that we're currently in. It's 17 minutes to go before we hit the